time would be different world. Right. But one thing I'm not do it, not use the time of measurement. Use it.
Yeah.
Good. Let's go. Let's
go look.
Thank you.
Right. And, well,
Chris.
Brothers, if you would please take your place. We are now ready to deal with action item number 10A. Brothers, you have before you action item 10. It is broken into three questions, A, B, and C, and we will vote on each question separately. In short, the three questions are as follows. First, should we have a national reporting system at all? Second, if we do, does the body entrust the oversight of the details and activation of that system to the executive and administrative committees over the next few months? And third, can we set a date certain of May 31st, 2020, as simply an outer limit to activating the system? It would be useful to provide some background on these three items before we vote. But the background, I must confess, is quite technical and includes legal and procedural aspects. For that reason, I have asked our general counsel, Anthony Piccirillo, to provide that background and to field your questions. And then I will call the questions at the end of our discussion. Anthony?
Thank you, Eminence, and good afternoon, bishops. Let me begin this afternoon by explaining how we got to this point regarding the third-party reporting system. As Cardinal DiNardo mentioned, when I'm done with that presentation, I'll be happy to take your questions and answer what I can. But as you'll see, part of what you're being asked to vote on is a process for addressing the many questions and details that will emerge through the implementation process. So in September of 2018, the Administrative Committee, which is the Board of Directors of the USCCB, authorized the establishment of a third-party reporting mechanism. But on May 9th, 2019, Pope Francis issued his motu proprio, Vos Estis Lux Mundi, which changed the context for the September decision substantially. As a result, the Administrative Committee revisited its prior decision to assess whether any parts of it might still stand and whether any parts might have to change in light of Vos Estis. It quickly became clear that at least one part of the September decision might stand. The motu proprio does allow for national episcopal conferences to provide a single national reporting system, as the Administrative Committee had approved in September. But the motu proprio also allows for each province, or even each diocese, to provide for reporting systems as well. So Cardinal DiNardo consulted with the Metropolitans of the United States because they would play a key role in receiving the reports generated by any such system, whether national, provincial, or diocesan. And there was broad support on the call for retaining the idea of a national system. Based on that consultation, Cardinal DiNardo asked the Administrative Committee, and it unanimously agreed, to put action item 10A on the agenda for your decision today. This action simply reaffirms having a national reporting system at all. Second, there are some aspects of the September decision that would need to change in light of Vos Estis. For example, the reporting system that was approved in September was approved on the assumption that all the reports coming out of the system would go to one destination. But under Vos Estis, we know that the reporting system will need to route reports to one of at least 32 metropolitans, or in the event that the metropolitan is the subject of the report, to one of about 32 senior suffragans. This means a change in how the system is structured and administered, how much it costs, and how those costs might be allocated. This kind of adjustment is just one example of many that would need to be made over the next few months. It will take time and careful work to understand and address all of the implications of Vos Estis for a national reporting system. The system will also need to take into account the implementing directives this body will vote on tomorrow. So again, we don't even have that document yet. So the implementation questions are yet to come. And of course, I'm aware that there are many questions from bishops about the details of this possible system. And these are precisely the details, again, that would be entrusted to the Administrative and Executive Committee. Work to incorporate these elements into the reporting system should commence immediately once the body has finalized and decided on the directives and concluded its meeting. Although the body will then be out of session once the gavel goes down, the work will require the oversight of committees of bishops that can act on behalf of the entire body, particularly in making key decisions along the way, such as those described in the action item. Action 10B addresses this need. It asks the body to authorize the executive and administrative committees to carry out this function over the next few months. Third and finally, Vos Estis requires a change in time frame. It sets a deadline on having reporting systems activated. The deadline is within a year of its June 1st, 2019 effective date, which means by May 31st of 2020. So Action 10C first expresses the will of the body to meet that deadline. I would add that the conference staff involved with this work think they could get the national system ready to activate by the beginning of the new year. But the reporting system can't be activated until the metropolitans and senior suffragans are also ready locally to receive the reports generated by the national system. And the Holy See has given the dioceses until May 31st of 2020 to get those local offices established. So unless all of the metropolitans and senior suffragans are ready to give up some of the available time to establish those local offices and the processes they will carry out upon receiving a report, and all of them agree to give up the same amount of time for that task, May 31st, 2020 seems the only feasible deadline for the body to set at this time. It is described as a no later than that date, so of course it's entirely possible that this could be done sooner. So if I had to sum up as briefly as possible, the three questions before you are whether or not, how, and when. First, do you want to have a national reporting system at all, whether or not? If so, how do you want to accomplish that? By what process? And third, when do you want it to go live? So with that, I would be happy to address any questions you may have, and then Cardinal DiNardo will call for a vote on each of these questions. Thank you.
Brothers, we now have anything for questions and discussion on action item 10. Archbishop Sample.
Thank you, Mr. Piccarello. Would it be good to make very clear that there's this timeline for implementing this third-party reporting system, which I think, at least by our November meeting, we indicated a very strong support for. But the other parts of Vos Estis are already in force, or will be in force July 1, I believe.
June 1.
Mm-hmm. It's at June 1. Okay, so they're in effect.
Right, already.
So even though this third-party reporting system may not be fully up and running across the country, certainly no later than May 31st, I think it would be important for our people to know that in the meantime, this doesn't preclude any allegations against bishops from coming forward directly to the Metropolitan or, you know, through some other way, through the nuncio or whatever. So in other words, I think it's important for our people to know that we're not gonna hold off on responding to any things that do come forward outside of a third-party reporting system in the meantime. Would that be correct?
That's exactly right, Archbishop. The national system is just one part of the overall structure. Vos Estis allows for diocesan, provincial systems, dioceses individually or together, I believe is the language that it uses. So local systems can be set up to put those reports in. The idea is that once this system is up and running, then it provides an especially easy method for anyone anywhere in the country to make a report and have it get routed to the right place.
Bishop Soto?
As outlined in action item number 8, there's the understanding that what we're going to establish is there's a 3-year period, and then we're going to look back and review that. And I'm wondering if something, at least acknowledging that, should be included in this action item, and the importance of saying again for the sake of the Catholic community that we are going to try to have a transparent and independent audit of how this third-party system works, and then and look at it at the end of 3 years.
I take the point for my own part. That strikes me as a friendly amendment. I could, as we stand here, perhaps jot some words that might accomplish that, but.
Do we put that?
Well, I know that in number, or the second item, is that the executive committee is going to look at that. If the executive committee welcomes those remarks, I think, at least I would understand that the executive committee will take these thoughts seriously and look for a way to make that part of the implementation and follow-up plan.
I think actually that would be the better course.
Bishop Dealey, does this include the, we could put an audit in, is that something related to the Vos Estis itself? We just want to make sure we're doing this correctly.
to put an audit into the system?
This third party reporting system. They wants to add a friendly amendment that there'd be an audit as part of it.
I think there's going to be a review there would be a review of the implementation of OSESTES after 3 years. The document itself has a period of 3 years before it is going to be reviewed. An audit would be a review of how the system has worked. I think I don't necessarily think it would be contradictory to the provisions of OSESTES.
Could we, Anthony, formulate that in question A?
Well, I think actually the suggestion that Bishop Soto had, which was to sort of leave that element of time frame to the executive and administrative committees as among the details that they address, could also address the matter without amending the action.
Okay.
I think that would be the best, most prudent way to proceed, and let the the executive committee, administrative committee, look at the details of how to, as long as that those concepts or principles are acceptable.
Sure. Bishop Paprocki.
I'm generally in favor of the idea of the third-party reporting system and one national phone number to do that. I'm wondering in a general way if you or anybody has some idea of how these third-party reporting systems work. Is it just a dispatcher, they get a call and they pass it on, or do they do any follow-up? For example, do they call the person back and they say, I've notified so-and-so, or do they give any further information about that? And then also a specific question, in Article 8, Paragraph 1 of the motu proprio of OSESTES Lux Mundi, it says the authority that receives a report transmits it both to the Holy See and to the metropolitan of the ecclesiastical province where the person reported is domiciled. That reference to the authority that receives the report, is that the third-party reporting system? If not, who is that authority that notifies the Holy See and the metropolitan?
Thank you for those questions. Let me address the first one. In general, we do have a sense of how these things work. The action item describes it as by phone and online. So the phone would go to a person who would ask questions, basic questions, to sort of identify the location for purposes of determining where it should be routed, and then asking some basic screen questions so that it pertains to bishops and for violations of Vos Estes. And then it would go generate a report, and that report would go to the appropriate contacts within the archdiocese or senior suffragan diocese. So that would be the path. I would certainly defer to Bishop Dealey on this, but my sense is that the authority refers to an ecclesial authority, that's a capital A in Vos Estes, and it is defined in another provision. And so the one responsible for making those reports within the church would be the church entities. So they're the ones who get it. Then the process kicks in. The reporting system only makes sure that it gets to the metropolitan or the senior suffragan. From there, the rest of the process is done according to the toward the motu proprio and the directives.
See, that's what's a little confusing to me, because the contact person for the general public seems to be the third-party reporting system. So they'll call this number, and then the third-party reporting person would notify, according to this, the metropolitan and the Holy See, the nuncio. So I don't see any other ecclesiastical authority in there prior to the third-party reporting system. So it would seem the third-party reporter is going to notify the metropolitan, according to this. Who's notifying the Holy See? That's what's not clear to me. Is that the reporting system?
I think the authority, I would agree with Anthony in this instance, that the authority there with a capital A refers to the metropolitan who receives, or whoever it is that receives, remembering that this document well, in this instance, it refers to a bishop, so it's talking about the Metropolitan or the equivalent of the Metropolitan from all of these other things. So it's talking about the authority that actually receives it on behalf of the church. So he receives it through a third-party system, but the third-party system is not the one making the report to the Holy See. It's making it to the authority, who then reports it to the Holy See and follows the procedure.
It's a very, I mean, think of it as a very sophisticated switchboard that directs it. And then likewise, if the report comes in online, then that report comes in text form to that same archdiocesan or senior suffragan entity.
Bishop Bill Murphy?
Anthony, thank you. This is kind of a question about the weather or not, which I think, am I correct to say that an argument for doing this might also include the fact that with the national system, some of us bishops, many perhaps, have served in different jurisdictions. And if we had only local ones, then there's the possibility that that something that needed to be known by more than one metropolitan could be lost. And so I just raised that. Is there anything you'd like to say about that? That is that an element that should be taken into consideration, that a national a system gives us a better guarantee that it'll be as thorough and as complete as possible?
I think that's fair. I think it's not just the past tense changes that have happened, but the ongoing changes that will happen. And those can cross provinces, and then you can have different, you can have a change in who the senior suffragan is as well by appointment. So that will change over time as well. And so yes, that can be tracked in one place.
Bishop Conlon.
As this process has developed with the national system, I think part of the planning also has to include advertisement. Yes. How is this number or website going to be made known to people? Are we going to have billboards on the highways? I assume we won't. But you know, I think that has to be taken into consideration as part of the system. The last thing we want is being accused of not being transparent about the system we've gone to the trouble of setting up. The other thing is that somehow the system is going to have to be prepared to deal with issues that have nothing to do with child abuse. Somebody calling the hotline and saying the bishop gave a terrible homily at confirmation today.
Right.
Somehow the system has to be able to deal with that sort of thing.
That's right, and that's one of the examples of the kind of thing that the executive committee would be able to address both of those sets of concerns.
Bishop Belisario, followed by Bishop Parker.
Just a point of clarification, we're talking about an investigation, internal church investigations, and how to do that, and something comes in and we got to communicate it to the Holy See, et cetera. When we're talking about accusations to come into a hotline dealing with child abuse,
yes,
or an accusation of a crime, we still have the obligation to report that immediately, I believe, to law enforcement. And if that's correct, then with this system, how does that take place? Does it take place when the initial call comes in? Does it go to the Metropolitan and they follow their policies to do that? But I would see that we really have two, in that situation, we have two parallel investigations taking place, mm-hmm, not just the church one, but also a civil one, and whether it's a bishop or not, if it's an accusation of a crime against children, it needs to be reported. Is that correct?
Certainly, yes. Once the report is received at the, as it were, the authority within the Metropolitan or the suffragan, the civil legal reporting obligations that may attach in that jurisdiction would attach then. Of course, if it's a charter type case, then Article 4 requires reporting to civil authorities whether or not there's a civil law requiring it. But the point is that respect for the civil authorities would be built into the system, and it would kick in once any of our folks receive a report.
Bishop Parker, followed by Bishop Nestaub.
Thank you. I'd like to address Bishop Apraki's question, especially with regard to the manner in which our reporting mechanism works here in the Archdiocese of Baltimore. There's actually sort of two layers of the reporting mechanism. The initial is the vendor who receives the report. In our case, it's Ethics Point. They ascertain that the report is about one of the four of us bishops who are actively serving here in the Archdiocese of Baltimore. They then convey that to two members of our independent review board. Those are the individuals then who are instructed to ascertain which category of report, what type of an allegation is it, and then they report to various entities based on the type of allegation that is being reported. For example, if the report is about an act of child sexual abuse on the part of one of us bishops, Ethics Point conveys that to the two judges on our independent review board. They are then instructed to contact civil authorities, they contact the Metropolitan, and they contact the Nuncio. So all three of those entities would be notified by these two. These are that's the independence, if you will, of the mechanism. So you have the vendor who runs the hotline, but you have the independent individuals who then ascertain the category, and then they make the notification to the appropriate authority. That's going to be very important as we consider this on a national level. Who will be those people who are receiving from the vendor, from the call intake, if you will, the report, and what specifically do they do with it? If there is an allegation against one of us where a crime is not alleged to have been committed, say it might be a case of a sexual misconduct with an adult, they then have the obligation to report again to the Metropolitan and to the Nuncio. If there's no crime, it wouldn't go to civil authorities. And if it's an allegation of negligence on the part of one of us in responding to allegations of child sexual abuse, then the report again goes to the Metropolitan, it goes to the Nuncio. A fourth category is the homily question that came up here. There may be many complaints about one of us on various things. If it falls into that category of other, then those two judges will notify our offices.
Right.
So it then comes to us directly and to our legal counsel. But initially, though, the people who receive that report are independent insofar as they are members of our independent review board. Mm-hmm. As far as publicity goes, we have made it widely known here in the Archdiocese via our website as well as our various publications within the Archdiocese. So it's important that that word gets out. And that's not tremendously difficult to do. Our people have received this extraordinarily well.
Thank you. I would just note that the question of who receives the reports initially would be governed by a combination of Vos Estis and whatever it is a Metropolitan Archdiocese decides to do in light of the directives. So as I understand it, for example, the current draft of the directives encompasses the idea that the Metropolitan and a layperson will be there to receive it simultaneously, and that layperson will be there to assist the Metropolitan in assuring, for example, civil legal compliance. In other words, there are these reporting obligations. Make sure that you comply with the reporting laws right away.
Bishop Nestaub, followed by Archbishop Rolio.
This is really related to what Bishop Parker just had mentioned, that many dioceses already have a reporting mechanism for HR and financial kind of improprieties, and that these systems are already kind of available. He, of course, described very well in terms of how it might work within a diocese. Two questions. One is, would we be using such a service as a vendor, or is it this is going to be created kind of out of whole cloth in terms of a independent kind of system? And secondly, if there are vendors out there that can assist in doing this, because, you know, in the Diocese of Richmond, we've been working with the Ethics Point as well, and they're very kind of able to tailor these services in a way that addresses needs within the diocese. Would the deadline really have to be May? Could it be earlier, it seems to me, than if these services already exist, to be able to go through the process a little bit more quickly to set something up? since, again, the services already exist, and it's really a matter of kind of make sure it's tailored towards what the needs are in this particular case.
Right. Well, I would say that, again, first of all, Ethics Point's one of the vendors that we're speaking with. One of the things that we are looking at is the way in which that can be integrated with existing systems, or whether a handoff could be managed more easily to the extent that the vendor is the same. We wouldn't be starting from scratch. These would be things that would be, one of the sets of inputs that will be taken as we go into implementation mode once we have decision tomorrow on the directives will be the existing experience of dioceses and especially provinces that have already begun to implement this. And as far as the May deadline, again, I think it's, it's possible that as we get into the implementation mode and if the metropolitans and the senior suffragans have their team on the field, as it were, the pitching machine is going to start throwing pitches on the day that this lights up, and they better be standing in the batter's box, but also have a whole team fielded, because it's not just receiving the reports, it's then processing the reports and going through the whole deal. So if there's a date before May 31st that everybody can agree on, and it becomes clear what that date is, say by the administrative committee meeting or the November meeting, whatever, then another move could be made. But right now, the idea is May 31st is kind of a ceiling, because that's what the Holy See has said, and it's cast as no later than, so.
Archbishop Broglio, followed by Bishop Rosazzo.
I realize we probably don't want to get too much into the weeds, but I would presume that these complaints, when they're brought to the third-party system, that people will have to identify themselves, that this is not kind of like a complaint box in a hotel where you don't know who from whom this complaint is originating.
You're right, I don't want to get too much into the weeds, but I will say that these systems are designed to accommodate confidential complaints. There, obviously, if a complaint is confidential, not as much can be done with it, but at the same time, there is that capacity, and I think the extent to which that capacity is used is going to be one of the questions that needs to be entrusted to the responsible committees.
Rosazza, Tobin. Bishop Rosazza, followed by Cardinal Tobin.
Imagine a situation of a female, 35 years old, who calls and says, I was abused by Bishop X when I was 15. Now, who takes care of the victim? What happens? I'm suffering from all of this. If we have the local scene, we know how to have the local coordinator for the victims or the victim's advocate deal with this, but what happens to her now? Who takes care of her?
In general, the idea is that this system that we're talking about, the reporting system, channels it to the appropriate ecclesial authority, and then they, among other things in Vos Estis, they conduct investigation. Of course, that's part of it, but another part of it is the provision of pastoral care. So that's something that would kick in after the report is handed off from the system on the one hand to the metropolitan or senior suffragan on the other, and so that's kind of downstream. But it would be, my sense is that even though it's outside the third-party reporting system as such, my sense is that dimension of pastoral care would be present and provided at the local level.
And now, let's say she wants to remain anonymous, but she said, I'll give you my phone number, my email address, and do they have to say who they are? And in some cases, in the past, they had to submit a written report saying that this happened to me and so on. Now you're just getting a phone call. So I don't know, what is there to work on?
It's also possible to submit written reports. That's one of the available pathways in.
Okay, thank you.
Cardinal Tobin, followed by Cardinal Supic.
Thank you, Cardinal. Regarding the question by Bishop Papraki, let's see if this helps. At Article 3, Number 3, regarding the authority, when the report concerns one of the persons indicated in Article 6, It is to be addressed to the authority, with a capital A, identified based upon Articles 8 and 9. The report can always be sent to the Holy See directly or through the pontifical representative. The people to be named in Article 6 are the people that are covered under whose crimes are covered under this this modus proprio. And number 8 and 9 are basically the hierarchs of the Latin Church, and 9 are the hierarchs of the... So those are the authorities.
Yes.
Yep. Okay.
Thank you.
That was clear.
Cardinal Supich, followed by Bishop Tyson.
I would just make a comment that the example of what was done in Baltimore would have to be nuanced, because there cannot be a report to an entity that's apart from the Metropolitan, in the sense that they decide whether or not they're going to tell him.
Right.
Because all the reports have to go to that person who receives the report, does it on behalf of the Metropolitan.
Right.
So even if, in fact, it's judged not to have any merit, it still has to go to the nuncio. So I just want to make sure that you can't have that separation there where the Metropolitan is ever kept in the dark.
That's right. That's right.
Bishop Tyson.
Thank you for all the great work, Anthony, and the community, the group that's been working on this. I just want to clarify. I know that when an allegation comes in, if law enforcement has not been contacted, we would contact law enforcement before opening a canonical process on an underage minor with a priest tied to the Dallas Charter and its essential norms. I just want to make sure we're clarifying in a parallel way how we are first starting with law enforcement before launching a canonical process, because we wouldn't want to be seen as tampering with police evidence.
Sure.
I wonder if you can just talk a little bit about that.
Sure. Again, I think this is not so much something that runs to the mechanics of the third-party system, but instead what happens once the report arrives from the third-party system or some other way into the Metropolitan or the senior suffragan. And yes, I mean, there would need to be compliance with civil reporting laws that may apply, and also if we're talking about, again, sexual abuse of minors under the Charter Article 4, there would be civil reporting even if the law doesn't require it. And so the sequencing in relation to any canonical investigation is what you've mentioned is something I've heard before, where you go to the civil authorities first, because in some cases they say, you know, don't do anything more. Sometimes that does happen, and of course you also don't want to give the appearance of messing with the process. But usually, again, by now, my sense is that there's a relationship with local prosecutors and other people to whom they report, so that, you know, the process that you're going to follow is one that's, again, governed by local law and what the expectations of the prosecutors are, the civil authorities locally.
And then I would just add that I think 15 states have laws for criminal adult misconduct.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So again, those are applicable, potentially applicable civil reporting laws.
Thanks.
Archbishop Gomez, followed by Bishop Coyne.
Thank you, Your Eminence. I just want to make a comment to the question of Bishop Rosasa. I think it's obvious to me, and hopefully I think to all of us, that the victim survivors are a priority for all of us, so no matter when that situation happened, I'm sure that every single one of us is going to be very attentive to the needs and the healing process of the victim survivors. So I think it is, I think this system will help us to precisely make sure that anyone who has suffered abuse is going to be taken care of from us, and in a healing process that whatever it takes.
Bishop Coyne.
I have a question of jurisdiction. Is a case handled in the place in which the alleged incident occurred, or is it handled by the Metropolitan in which the bishop resides? So You see what I'm saying?
If
it occurs in Vermont, but it's somebody else from outside of my province. Does our province cover it, or does his province cover it?
Bishop, I must admit, I'm pretty sure that question is addressed in Vos Estes. I recall coming across the answer. I just don't have it at the top of mind. I don't know if the folks, the canonists might know, but I do have a sense that the location, sort of who handles the case, is something that's specified in the document in some way.
It's where the accused is domiciled.
Where the accused is domiciled. There you go.
Standard. So far, that is the number of questions, observations I see coming forth. Thank you for that, brothers. I think it's time now to call the questions, which are decided by a majority present and voting. First, we have action item 10A. Does the General Assembly authorize the design of a third-party system for receiving confidentially, by phone and online, reports of possible violations by bishops of Vos Estis Lux Mundi? This is my motion. Do I have a second from the floor? Archbishop Lurie has given a second, okay. Monsignor, now please proceed with the electronic voting.
Thank you.
Wait a minute, somebody.
Bishop Conlon?
Bishop Conlon.
This is a national system?
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Talking about.
The voting is displayed. Please open the vote. And please vote now. Voting is closed. Please display the vote. 205 in favor. The motion passes.
Now, next, brothers, we have action item 10B. Now that we'll have a national system, does the General Assembly authorize the Executive Committee to develop a more detailed proposal for a third-party reporting system, including financial, structural, and other necessary adjustments to account for Vos Estis Lux Mundi for review and approval by the Administrative Committee at its September and November 2019 meetings? Once again, do I have a second for this motion from the floor?
Bishop Richard Malone.
Richard
Malone.
Oh, Richard Malone is there. Okay, it has been seconded. Now, Monsignor, it's yours.
We have a question in the back, Bishop Boyer.
Bishop Boyer.
So by this vote, we would be basically saying that we as a conference will not approve this. We're authorizing the administrative board to give the approval.
Yeah, to work out the details.
To work out the details, yes.
Uh-huh. They already approved.
And then you've already approved it. So
for review and approval by the administrative committee. So we will not see... We will not give approval to any of those implementation activities, correct?
I think that's correct. The idea is that it could be reported out in November, for example, at this meeting, but it would be done before then.
Okay. Okay. Monsignor.
So the action is before you. Please open the vote. Majority present and voting to pass. The vote is open. Please vote now. Voting is closed. Please display the vote. 200 in favor. The motion passes.
Okay. Finally, brothers, action item 10C. Does the General Assembly commit to activating the third-party reporting system no later than May 31st, 2020? Is there a second?
Cardinal Supich has a question.
Oh, Cardinal Supich, question.
Yes, I noticed that, of course, the Administrative Committee could get this up and running by September if all things being equal, it works. I just wouldn't want that May 31st to be, something that we just fill in. I think there's an urgency to get this up and running as soon as possible. And I would hope that would be the sense in which we do vote for this, that we want to get this done now. It seems to me that corporations, when they have hotlines for crisis moments, are able to do it quickly. And so I would hope that we would do that as well.
Thank you, Cardinal Subic. I think we're all dedicated to that, but we can't go beyond, I think, what's in the law. But I think we all would like it done much sooner, particularly at the Administrative Committee. You have some comment on it.
Yeah, we definitely just echo that sense of urgency, but also we have the decision-making processes that we need in order to have those entities that are representative of the body, especially the Administrative Committee, to be able to intervene. And, of course, there are lots of details, as reflected in the questions that all of you have presented, that need to be incorporated with great care. So, again, from the staff level, we were thinking we could do it by the end of the year as a floor, but beyond that, sooner would be great.
I'll read again to action item C. Does the General Assembly commit to activating the third-party reporting system no later than May 31st, 2020? Is there a second?
Archbishop Coakley.
Coakley. Somebody has their hand up there. I don't know if they... Oh, okay. So we have a second, and now Monsignor.
So the vote is displayed. It requires majority members present and voting. Please open the vote. Voting is open. Please vote now. Voting is closed. Please display the result. 220 in favor. The motion passes.
Okay. Fine. Thank you, brothers, for this. Obviously, this part of it is a very complicated question. I want to thank Anthony, who helped to dissect it and to both do the analysis and then putting it all back together again so we see one leads to the other in this. As for the timing, I mean, I can assure you the Executive Committee, along with the Administrative, we want this thing done as quickly as possible. But the only thing I can beg is, as we get this thing set, we have to have the Metropolitans who are with us on this, because there's 32 of you. And we can only go as fast as ultimately all of the Metropolitans go with this. So we're set to go when we are, and that's... It's an important, so I say all of the brother bishops, you can always encourage your metropolitan archbishop to be on point with this and keep moving. So, Archbishop Sample.
To that very point, Your Eminence, I think that as we had our discussions earlier today in our regional and provincial meetings, this handbook that's going to be provided to the provinces, to the metropolitans, which of course is going to be, I think, very, very helpful and even essential for us to, develop what we're going to do locally in the provinces. I missed it somewhere along the line here, but how soon will that handbook be available to the metropolitans and to the provinces so that we can begin putting the pieces in place so that, as you say, we're ready to go as soon as we can?
Well, what they're saying now, Archbishop, I can tell you what they said yesterday. Just ahead of Labor Day is what we're hoping for. Ahead of Labor Day, right? So that's what we're hoping. They have to wait till they get our vote. They actually have already been working on, I think, on the document, but they have to make sure they have our votes, and then they can kind of push more of it together. We can't do things before our voting and stuff is done. But they're going to work really rapidly on this vade mecum, I guess we could call it, this resource, so metropolitans can do their job. So that's what I can tell you, I think, Archbishop Sample. I do want to thank all those who have been involved, and by the way, the upper staff here have really been intensely working, and other people in the conference, to do the various aspects of this 10A, this third-party reporting. It is complex, is what it is, as maybe some of you learned in speaking today in your respective province and provincial groups, but they are really dead set on getting this thing done and in order. I know they are. I've talked with them. So they'll work as fast as they can during the next few weeks in July to get this thing ready. So that's that voting. Thank you, brothers, for that voting. It's consequential, it is, in light of what we do tomorrow. It's very consequential we have a third-party reporting system. Monsignor, you have some comments to make.
Yes, Your Eminence, thank you. Your Eminences, Your Excellencies, tomorrow we reconvene in this room at 9 a.m. I kindly request you please leave the voting keypads in the room for preparation for tomorrow's electronic voting. Again, as a reminder, amendments for action items 6, 7, and 8 are due at 5 p.m. in the trays outside of this room. Starting tomorrow, breakfast and lunch will be in the Waterview Ballroom located on the first floor behind the lobby restaurant. Thank you, Your Eminence.
Okay, that is the work we have for today. We're actually pretty much on time, I guess, for what we pledged. So we will have a, what? Yes, oh yeah, always. I've been reminded to do a final doxology. Of course, we will do that. We will always praise the Trinity for their work and ask the help of the Holy Spirit and the prayers of the Mother of God as well. So let's pray. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Have a blessed evening, brothers. We'll see you tomorrow morning.